Hebrews 13 in your Bible this morning. Book of Hebrews, last chapter. And we're going to read just two verses, give you a little bit of the context when we get into the message. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16, okay? So find that page in your Bible there, Hebrews toward the end of the New Testament. Find that, we'll read together. That song's not in the songbook, evidently, is it? It was in the old songbook. That's a great old song. It's not a little song for congregationals, but that's a beautiful old hymn, Hallelujah for the Cross. Let's stand together, please. And we're going to read these two verses responsively. I'll read verse 15. Would you please join me on verse 16? The writer of Hebrews chapter 13, 15. Now, many people believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. It might have been Timothy or Apollos. We're not told, but it's in the canon of Scripture, preserved and recorded. It's the inspired word of God. Amen. Verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Thank you, dear Father, for your word. Speak to us from it this morning. It's eternal, and therefore it has the power and ability to minister to our eternal souls. If we had just a temporary book, it couldn't minister to an eternal soul. So I'm thankful for your eternal word, and may it meet a need in our hearts this morning. Well, thank you for it. We love you. Bless the song, singer, message to follow, please. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, BC.
Judgments of the mind. It's the opposite.
I heard Kevin Wynn told me on Friday that a pending bill passed out of our house, the house in D.C., that makes it a hate crime for anybody to say anything negative about a homosexual. I don't think it's gone to the Senate yet, but it's passed out of the house. And you face jail time if you make those kind of remarks in any setting. Well, I understand. And the words of that song are so true. I am more convinced than ever. It's not Republicans or Democrats that's going to change this country. And I'm for electing the right person. And there's a good man from California who's running for president. He used to be a member of Jim Baez's church outside San Diego. Duncan Hunter is his name. And very, very, just, still a member of an independent Baptist church, Trinity Baptist Church outside San Diego. And he is running. And we may introduce him to you later on this year if we have the opportunity. But the answer is one by one turning people back to Jesus Christ. That's the answer. The cross and the blood. Still the answer. And good singing this morning for our hearts. I want to speak to you on the subject of sacrificial living. Sacrificial living. And I'm not on a poverty kick this morning because I've been in Mexico City, so relax. I don't think we should sit on benches. I think we live in America. We could sit on a padded pew, okay? But the context of the message is completely different. Sacrificial living. Let's pray together. My dear Father, thank you for the beautiful song and the truth of it. It is still the cross and the blood of Calvary that will turn not only a life around, but a society if we can turn enough folks to righteousness. I pray that you'll bless the ministry of this church, not only abroad, but home. Bless the soul winners. Help others to join in. May we be faithful. May we see results, Lord, as we patiently witness for Christ. And thank you for souls being saved this past week and the great news about a man trusting Christ. And Lord, it thrills me. I love you. I pray that you'll please bless the message to our well-being today. In Christ's name. And amen. On Friday morning, Brother Wynn and his son, Enoch, and one of his assistant pastors, Brother Victorio, picked Brother Jorge and I up at the motel where we were staying. And they drove us about an hour outside of Mexico City. Now, it's once we got to the border, the city limits, we had about an hour to go. It took, I think, an hour and a half to get to the limits of the city. And Brother Wynn lives next to the limits of the city. Travel down there, it's absolutely incredible. And we should be dead. We should be dead. But Clint Reardon and Kevin Wynn, they just have learned how to drive down there. And it's just, you would be amazed. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I just, you know, and we made it. And but anyway, traffic terrible. But they drove us out to see the ancient pyramids outside of Mexico City. Brother Wynn said Thursday night, he said, "Have you seen those?" I said, "Brother Wynn, we have stopped." And he said, "I want to take you to see those tomorrow morning." And so it took all day. We got back at 4 o'clock. I had to teach at 5. I walked in with my notes at 5:02 and taught for 4 hours and 15 minutes. So it's just that kind of schedule when you're, but it was a fascinating place. If I was taught about the pyramids of Mexico, did I say Egypt? No, okay. I knew about the pyramids in Egypt. But if I was taught about the pyramids in Mexico, and I'm sure I was in school, I'd forgotten about them. It wasn't on my mind. So to get out there, it's just fascinating. It's the city in which the ancient Aztec Indians, it's the city which the ancient Aztec Indians built before the days that the Spaniards came under Cortez and conquered and inhabited Mexico. This is the days of the Indians. The Mayas preceded the Aztecs and the Incas in Peru. And I'm not going to give you a history lesson this morning, but I got to give a little bit. And I'm not qualified to give you a history lesson, number one. But there were two huge pyramids there. One of them was built to the sun, and the other one was built to the moon. And we climbed the one up to the sun, and we take some video footage of that. You'll get to see that eventually, maybe next Sunday night. And so it was great. The Aztecs were a fierce people. Fierce people. Brother Wynn said, if you see them, you'll know right away who they are. They're just just massive. They were very, very athletic, very strong, but for a different reason. Strength and agility and athleticism and courage and fighting prowess were all desired by the young men. They all strived to be the fastest, the strongest, the fiercest, the most athletic warrior. That was their whole purpose for existence. And the sad part of their history is the reason they wanted to be the strongest. The reason they wanted to be the fiercest and the strongest was so that they could be sacrificed in death to their gods. That's what they did. They took the strongest, the most athletic, the fiercest, the most courageous young men, and those young men were sacrificed. They would have contests, battles, one-on-one, kind of like that ultimate fighting challenge that they have going on in the States today, where everything is legitimate, and they would fight four or five other warriors. And here's one of the young men, and he defeats four warriors, and then if he's right-handed, he has to defeat a left-handed warrior for the final opponent. If he's left-handed, he has to fight a right-handed opponent for the final victory. And the fellow who won all five contests got the privilege of being sacrificed to his God. That's what they did. So, you know, after coming out victorious in all those battles, his reward was to be sacrificed in death to his God. I can tell you how that happened, but it's not very pleasant. Not very pleasant at all. Now, the thing that gripped me is I heard these, went to the museum, and then we saw the pyramids. But this was the apex, this was the height of their glory. This was what many of their young men yearned for and longed for, to be sacrificed in death. And this is not my message this morning, but isn't it interesting that a society of people were not interested in offering their God less than best? A false God. A God with eyes that could not see, ears that could not hear, didn't care. But they were not willing to sacrifice anything less than the best to their false God. And the best was willing to be sacrificed. So that's what they yearned for, longed for. Now, folks, down through the ages, many of God's people have lost their lives as martyrs for the cause of Christ. But they didn't volunteer for that. They didn't yearn for that. Their martyrdom was the result of their refusing to deny Jesus Christ or the book of God or their salvation. And so they were put to a martyr's death. Acts chapter 6 and 7 records the first martyr, the stoning of Stephen, and you have the dark ages. And regardless, by the way, Kevin Wynn told me something else interesting. He said, brother, he said, they are rewriting the history books in Mexico. He said, it's not just America, it's around the world. They're rewriting the history books and taking out all this stuff. And they've done that about the Reformation period and the Dark Ages and tried to tell you that there were no Christians put to death. There were no Christians executed. It's a fact of history. Thousands of Christians were put to death. Burned at the stake, eaten by lions in the Colosseum, pulled apart by horses, sawn asunder. On and on it could go. Now, if that is the will of God, and by the way, martyrdom still exists today. Martyrdom still exists today in places that we don't know about. China, Indonesia, some of these other places where Christians are losing their lives. And I could tell you stories about that, but we don't have so much time. That's not the crux of the message. Now, if martyrdom is the will of God, then, you know, the grace of God will be your portion if you have to go through it. You've read the stories. Many of you have. Many of the martyrs at the stake, while the flames were engulfing their flesh, sang praises to God and testified for Christ while they were burning at the stake. They sang, what do you call that? I call that the grace of God. That's what I call that. That's nothing more than the grace of God. Now, but that's not something we long for. That is not something that I desire. The ultimate sacrifice for many of us is not to die for our God, but to live for our God. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the kind of God we serve. You don't have to give yourself in death to please Him, but you do need to give yourself to live for Him, to please Him. Living sacrificially. That's what it's talking about. Now, there are sacrifices that are very pleasing to God that do not require dying. I don't know about you, but that interests me. If I have to be martyred, God's grace will be my portion, and who knows what's going to happen in this country when it's all said and done. But personally, friend, I'm not volunteering. I like to live. So I'm interested in what pleases God that's involved in me living sacrificially for Him. Now, the writer of Hebrews tells us of three kinds of sacrifices that are pleasing to God. There are some in other places, but there are three here. That'll be all the time we have this morning. And I want to tell you those. But before I show you those, before I give you those three sacrifices that please God, let me show you a sacrificial death that is absolutely the single most important sacrifice that's ever been made in history. Look at verse number 12. Look at what the book says. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. What the Bible is talking about here, friend, is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went outside the gates. What she's saying about this morning, it's still the cross. It's still the blood of Calvary. He went outside the gates of Jerusalem. He went to Golgotha's hill, and there He sacrificially gave His life and shed His blood that we might have eternal life. Now, God commands every one of us to admit that we are sinners. Commands it. And then God commands that we realize we are guilty before Him and deserve eternal punishment. And then God invites us to come to Calvary's cross by faith and trust in Jesus as the only sacrifice for our sin. Now, friend, look, if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, I'm talking about if you died today, do you know for sure that you would wake up in heaven? And by the way, it's immediate. There's no limbo. There's no in-between place. And by the way, down there in Mexico City, the Catholic Church is changing their teaching on that. They're slowly but surely doing away with the teaching on limbo. But they're finally catching up to Bible truth. There is no in-between place. When you leave this world, you're going somewhere. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? If you don't, Jesus sacrificed His life, shed His blood, so that your sins could be forgiven, so that your name could be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell and burn forever and ever and ever, so that you could have a mansion in heaven and live with God forever. And what you need to do is come to Calvary. You can't go to the Middle East this morning, but you can come to Calvary by faith and put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you've never done that, that's what you need to do. And I would encourage you to do that. When you get saved, you're born to the family of God. You are given the gift of eternal life. Heaven becomes your eternal destiny. Amen and amen. It's good to be saved. It's good to be born again. It's good to be a child of God. Now, the ultimate for us, once we become saved, is not to die for Him, folks. The ultimate for us is to live for Him. A living sacrifice, not a dying sacrifice. A living sacrifice that pleases Him. Let's look at the three sacrifices that please Him. Number one, verse number 15, look at what it says. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. The first sacrifice, living sacrifice that pleases God, is the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. God is well pleased when you and I praise Him and give thanks to His name. And brother, after we get saved, the Bible says that through Jesus Christ, we have access to God. Before salvation, you have no access to God. Your sin breaks that down. You can't get through to Him. The only prayer He will hear is the prayer, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. But after you trust Christ, through the shed blood of Jesus, you are given access to the very throne room of God. Now, by the way, we can go there and ask our petitions. And we can ask the Lord for things. But I want to tell you something, friend. That access that's given to us is not solely for the purpose of asking for things. Part of that access is for the purpose of you and I giving praise and thanks to the name of our God, rejoicing in our salvation, worshiping God through praise and thanksgiving. And the Bible makes it very clear that it is talking about verbal praise and verbal thanksgiving. Look at what he says. He even defines it for you. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And I want to tell you something, Independent Baptist. We have allowed the charismatics to abuse this and run to the far end of the spectrum with it, and it scared us to death. And while they're out there hooping, hollering, and barking like dogs, we're sitting like wooden Indians. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There is a happy medium. I told Brother Jorge one of the things I was impressed about Brother Wynn's church. It was not chaotic. And when you have that many people together, it can be chaotic. It was not chaotic. There were amens, but there was an amen at the right time, in the right place, in the right spirit. It wasn't a bunch of chaos and wildness where folks couldn't hear. And I want to tell you something, that pleases God. It pleases God for us to praise Him corporately. It pleases God for us to praise Him individually. It pleases God for me and my family to praise Him and thank Him for all of His... That's part of the reason we've been given access to God, to verbally, with our lips, praise His name and thank You, God, and I rejoice in my salvation. And You've been so... And the Bible says that's well-pleasing to God. Well, I got one amen on that. But that's what it says. Look at the end of verse 16. For with such sacrifices, God is well-pleased. I want to tell you something, friend. You can't go and visit another country, especially a country like Mexico, and especially Mexico City, without thankfulness filling your heart. I'm telling you. I could tell you so much this morning, and I'm not going to do that because this is preaching time. But the thing that gripped me most was not the physical condition of the people. Now, the sight of poverty is always heart-rending. When it's 10:30 at night and you're at a traffic light and a little boy in rags at 10:30 at night is trying to wash the windows of the car stopped at the intersection in hopes that somebody will give him a peso, that breaks your heart. I said, Brother Wynn, where are his parents? He said, he probably lives on the street. He couldn't have been over eight, nine years of age. That breaks your heart. That's heart-rending. I mean, one intersection here is here's a teenage young man, like some of you young men sitting right down here. He's 14, 15 years of age, and he's got a little something in his hand, something that's on fire. It's burning, a wand. And he's got a little something in his hand, and he stopped at the intersection, all the traffic here, and they're stopped at the light, and he's waving this wand, and then he takes a sip of gasoline and rolls it around his mouth, and then he blows, and you know, people give him a peso for doing that. And Kevin said he probably lives on the street too. That's heart-rending. When you go and you see the houses that they live in made out of tarps on dirt roads. And I don't mean nice tarps. I mean nasty old tarps and cardboard. That's heart-rending. Those kind of things grip you, but that did not grip me as much as the idolatry. A nation in the grasp, basically, of Catholicism. A people steeped in false teaching. And I want to tell you something, friend. It's not the poverty that is their enemy. Because I met many poor people who were extremely joyful. They had a smile on their face. I taught 200 folks on Friday night. Probably 100 girls and 100 boys in the institute there. And many of those boys made their living during the day shining shoes. They go out and for $1.50 for 15 pesos. They shine shoes. And they live, they earn enough to live one day. But they had the joy of God in their heart. They had a smile on their face. They were not moping around. I mean, Americans have 100 times what they have and we mope around. It's not the poverty that's their enemy. What is their enemy is the Catholicism and the idolatry and the false doctrine and the false teaching, and not just the Catholicism, but the Mormons and all the other people that are there with their false doctrine. And they are materially poor. But that's not their biggest enemy. They are spiritually bankrupt. And that is their biggest enemy. That's their biggest hurdle. It's the influence of years and years of false worship. And I come back from that place and I think to myself how thankful I am that I was born and reared in a country, not because we have paved roads, not because we have houses made out of brick and mortar and so forth, but not because we have vehicles. I'm glad I was born and reared in a country that had God at its beginning. I'm glad for the Christian influence. I'm glad for the Bible influence. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the founding of our country and the belief in God and Jesus and the Bible. How could we not praise God? And why does it take a trip to Mexico City to make me think about it? What pleases God, folks, is continual. Look at what he says there. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Let me ask you this question. Would you rather worship a God that, if the apex was being skinned? Or would you rather worship God that the apex of what pleases him is just lifting your voice once in a while and saying, thank you, God, for all your blessings? I think I'd rather have this. I'd rather have this second. Spiritually, we have much for which to praise him. Materially, we have much for which to praise him. Physically, we have much for which to praise him. Friend, we don't have to be sacrificed in death in order to please God. We just need to be mindful of how good he is and tell him that we recognize that. Brother Bobby Robertson was preaching in Virginia years ago, up in the hollers. And the pastor said, Brother Bobby, I'd like to take you tomorrow to see the most thankful man I've ever met in my life. Brother Bobby said, okay. So they drove up into the hollers as far as they could go, and then they got out and walked. And they walked up a little stone path over a creek to a holler where there was a little old house, just a shack of a house. And a little old simple lady came out of that house, simply dressed. Oh, preacher, glad that you came and you brought the evangelist with you. Brother Bobby, good to see you. I'm so glad that you're here. And she called her husband's name. She said, my husband is down getting a bucket full of water out of the stream down there that runs along the side of the mountain. Please don't leave. You made the trip here. He'll want to see you. Please wait just for a few minutes. Just sit out here in the shade and wait. And pretty soon, and so they did. Pretty soon here came the old boy hauling his buckets of water up the side of the mountain. I'm talking about America. I'm talking about not a whole lot of years ago, 20, 30 years ago. Hauling his water up the side of the hill. And, Pastor, glad to see you. And shook the hands. And Brother Robertson, God bless you for coming in. And he started talking a little bit. And then finally he said, Preacher, I want you to see something before you go. He said, God has been so good to us. I want you to see something. He said, come in this house. I want to show you. Took him in that little old shack. I mean plain. And there hung on the side of that little old shack was an empty peach crate. And it wasn't empty, it was a peach crate. It had dishes in it. He said, that the other day there was a truck loaded with boxes going down the road down there at the bottom of the hill, and somehow this old crate fell off on the road. I said, my wife has always wanted a place to put her dishes on the side of the wall. And said, I found that peach crate, and the first thing I thought about was my wife having a place to put her dishes. He said, I put that up there on that wall and secured it, and now she's got her little dishes stored up there. Isn't God good, preacher? He said, and look at this over here. He said, look at this. He said, you know, used to have to bring water in. It had a little old piece of tin shaped up in the shape of a box. It had some little contraption like a gravity-fed tube that came down and some water running there. He said, you know, we used to have to do all that hauling up. Now I could put some up in that little gravity box up there, and that water just flows down, and she can stand there and wash her dishes. Boy, isn't God good? Brother Bobby said he went back. He finished that meeting. He drove back to Walkertown. He walked in his house. He knelt down beside his refrigerator, put his hand in his refrigerator, said, oh, God, you're so good to me. Walked over and put his hand on the stove, an electric or a gas stove, and fancy, a nice one, put his hand on that thing. And just, he said he went to every appliance. He went to every piece of furniture. He knelt down by everything in his house and said, oh, God, you've been so good to me. Why should those with less have a greater heart of thanksgiving than those with more? Does that make sense to y'all? That makes sense to me, does it? And boy, I have to, you know, I go on a trip like this and I get my carcass kicked. I grumble and complain and this is not working. That's not pleasing to God. What is pleasing to God continually is the sacrifice of, you mean I don't have to be skinned alive and have my heart scooped out in order to please my God? You mean my God is well pleased when I just lift my voice and thank Him? Yeah, He is. That's a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. Number two, I've got to hurry here. Look at this, number 16. He says here, the very first part of this, he says, but to do good. To do good. The sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to His name. The sacrifice of doing good. Now, to understand what this means, hold your finger here. Look at Galatians 6. We've got to go real quick. Galatians chapter 6. The last 2 points won't take me as long as the first two. And I don't know, I'm not going to apologize if we do go a little over time. It's all right. Amen. Chapter 6. We're here less than we used to be. No doubt about that. Still got me by the nape of the neck a little bit. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Of Galatians. Did I tell you that? Galatians 6:10. Look at what he said. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. Now that's what the writer of Hebrews said God was well pleased with. The sacrifice of doing good. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You say, what is doing good? Doing good is simply that. Doing good things for and to others. Hey, folks, it's not rocket science. That's what it is. And let me ask you a question this morning. How has any part of the last 7 days of your life been invested in doing good for others? You say, Brother Angel, I went to work this week. I had to work overtime. Worked 15 hours one day. Friend, taking care of your family is not sacrifice. That's responsibility. Let's not confuse the two. You think that you're going to get a pat on the back someday because you put food on the table, clothes on your family's back, and put a house over, roof over their head? Boy, Brother Hanson, what a man. No, that's his responsibility. It's kind of like tithing. You know, you don't really start giving until you give above the 10%. You get 10%, want to get patted on the back for it, there's not going to be any pat on the back. That's just obedience. According to what Jesus said, plain obedience, simple obedience, is unprofitable service. Well, I didn't get many amens on that, but that's what He said. He said, done that which was my duty to do, therefore I'm an unprofitable servant. Do what you're doing, just maintain it. You've got to turn a profit. Y'all with me this morning? So, I appreciate you. And by the way, I'm not belittling that. I talked to a church member, man, here just a couple weeks ago. He was here on Wednesday night. His eyes were like somebody throwing sand in them. I said, Brother, you're tired. Pastor, I get up at 2:30. And I get home at 7. And by the way, I was out soul winning a couple Thursday nights ago and passed by where he works, and they were just pulling in the lot. So I know that's true. 2:30. To be at work at 3. That's a long week, folks. That's a long day. I'm not minimizing that, but folks, when he's talking about doing good here, he is not talking specifically, referring to taking care of your spouse and your children or your parents. That's what a family is supposed to do. That's one of the reasons God put a family together. Watch, sacrifice begins when I reach out beyond the boundaries of my responsibility and do good for somebody else. That's the kind of sacrifice that pleases God. You know, you think about the Aztecs. You know, they worked hard to die. To do so was completely selfish. To be the strongest, to be the most athletic, to be the fiercest of all the warriors, so that they could be sacrificed to God and get all the glory for themselves. That's not the kind of sacrifice that's pleasing to the true God. The true God said to please Him, you go outside the boundaries of what is responsibility and you do good for others. Now, I'm not getting on you this morning. Maybe I am. If I am, that's what I'm supposed to do. Amen. But do a little inventory on your life. In the last 7 days, what did you do outside the boundaries of responsibility? You may not be able to do it every week. But was there some time? And this is what we're talking about here. This is an investment of time. It costs you time to go outside the boundaries of responsibility and do something good for somebody else. That's what's pleasing to God. So you start turning to profit. Doing good. The sacrifice of doing good. And boy, there are examples all over this room this morning. I was riding back with Brother Jason. He picked us up at the airport yesterday. We were riding back. I asked about you young people. How are the teenagers that come on Sunday morning? How are they doing? I want them to enjoy the service. It's not a teenage service. It's just an adult service. And I want you to enjoy it. We were talking about some of the teenagers. And he said, "Preacher, what a blessing." He said, "A man in the church came up and he gave me $30 and said, buy this young lady some church clothes." And he said, "My wife was able to go with $30 and go to the thrift stores and buy her 7 or 8 outfits to wear to church because she wanted those kind of clothes." I thought, praise God for that. Now, you know what that is? That's called doing good. Doing good. Now, some of you folks need to do a little inventory. Let's see. Last week, no, I didn't have any time for that. Last week, no, I didn't have time for that. Last week, no, I was busy with that. No. You might be surprised how far back you go. There's always opportunity. You ladies that served that meal on Tuesday did such a fine job. That's doing good. That's the... Hey, folks, what a blessing. I don't have to be skinned and my heart scooped out to please some false god. I get to live for my God. And the things that He says please Him, that are living sacrificially, ultimately benefit not only the person that I help, it benefit me. Because I get a blessing from it. Amen? The sacrifice of doing good. Let me give you the third one quickly here. Number 3 is in the last part of, or the middle part of verse number 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. The sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, the sacrifice of doing good, and number 3, the sacrifice of giving to others. Do you see that word there, communicate? He's not talking about verbal communication. He's not talking about getting on the phone or paging somebody or sending them a text message. The word communicate is, we don't have time for it, but just listen to me. The word communicate is the same word in Philippians 4:15, where Paul said, "Hey church, you have done well in that you communicated with me concerning giving and receiving." You know what this communication is right here? This is giving money to others so that they can go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who have not heard. Now, all over this room this morning, when those offering plates were passed by there a little while ago, some of you folks, maybe you didn't even realize it. But you pleased God. Because you not only gave the 10% that belongs to God, but you went and dug a little deeper, and you gave a certain amount that went to Faith Promise Missions. And when God sees that, that pleases His heart. I wish I could take everybody. I wish I could charter a 747 and fly everybody down to a place like Mexico City. I wish I could. Oh, yeah, we see all that poverty. No. We wouldn't see the poverty. We'd go to church. We go to church with Brother Clint and Rhonda and their 5 children. On Wednesday noon, we visited the first church Clint was at. Turned over to a national pastor, running 200 now. We gave money to that building, by the way. We bought money. We helped buy the property, and we gave money for the building. There's a school there. Clint's kids go to the school. And then we had church Wednesday night with Brother Clint and Rhonda, and they usually have church on Thursday night. Wednesday night, they had 34 adults and 4 kids show up. We had Germans. We had Indians. And one other nationality, and I can't remember what it was. There are 3 different nationalities there, and these are wealthier people.
And the church is just a little over a year old, I think. Boy, to be there and to see Brother Clint. And then on Thursday to go up to see Brother Suttmeyer. And I don't have time to tell you. Brother Suttmeyer was not the original pastor there. He was out trying to start a work and get it going when the original pastor, a missionary that we supported, went deep-sixed in immorality. And he had to be sent home. And Nick took that work. And it was corrupt from top to bottom. Get down to 20 people. Had a building payment. Went to buy some things in the neighborhood. Got his church check out. And the guy said, oh, no. I'm not taking that church's check. He got so discouraged. Last Sunday, they had 80 folks in their service that all came within a five-minute walk of their property. They went to the neighbors to Christ. They had a mother-daughter banquet last night. They set up for 75 moms and ladies, moms and girls. He's just beaming. Went to Kevin Wynn's on Thursday night service, preached to 2,000, mostly adults. You wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it. It's incredible. Been there 22 years. They just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and they sang. Sunday they're running between 4,000 and 5,000. They'll be between 4,000 and 5,000 this morning. It will take them an hour and a half to 2 hours to get out of the church parking area. Just incredible. There were 89 baptized Thursday night. 60 of those from the adult service. It's incredible. It's 200 kids in their institute on Friday night. Now, you know what? Many of you had a part in that. Because you've been given the missions over all these years. Maybe you just started giving the missions at this last missions conference. And you know what that is? That is a sacrifice that God is well pleased with. How about you? Are you kind of excited that to please your God, you don't have to be skinned alive? I am too. But I got my carcass kicked, okay? I don't have to be skinned alive to please my God, but what am I doing that does please my God? And my mind went to this text. I can praise Him and thank Him continually. Amen? I can do good. And I can give so that others can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, friend, I am thankful this morning. And by the way, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, that don't cost me anything. Doing good costs me time. Giving to missions costs me a little money. But that doesn't bother me because I don't have to die to please my God. I just have to be willing to live. Sacrificially. Are you living sacrificially? Yeah, well, we're down to one car. I give a dollar to missions every week. Make $80,000. Are you living sacrificially? Because that's what pleases Him. You don't have to die for it, but you do have to live for it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with a little bit of rambling this morning. Before we give the invitation, let me ask just a few questions this morning. I just want to ask you to do one thing before I ask two or three questions. Please be honest. Please, please, please be honest. Here's my first question. Pastor Angel, I'm saved. I've been by faith to Calvary. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I'm saved and I'm not ashamed of it. Would you raise your hand, please, and be honest? Please, please, please be honest. Please don't be. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there anybody here this morning, Brother Angel? I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. I'm not sure. I didn't raise my hand a moment ago, but I'll be honest to raise it now. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand, please? put it right up in the air and take it right back down. Anybody? Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not certain that heaven is my eternal destiny. Pray for me. Anybody like that here today? Front to back, side to side. Not sure that I'm saved. Jesus died for you. He made the way possible for you to go to heaven. But friend, you must be willing to come to Calvary and be saved. Anybody like that today? Very good. How many are here that say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved? Pray for me about that matter of obeying the Lord and believers' baptism. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here this morning? I've been saved, not baptized since I've been saved. God bless you. Two or three hands. If you're willing to follow the Lord this morning, if you're an adult, you can do that, of course. If you're a teenager or a child, we need mom and dad's permission. All right. Some of you are here this morning. You've been saved and baptized. You know this is the place God wants you to join and be a member of the church. I invite you to come in just a minute. How many of God's people, Brother Angel? Just pray for me at some point during the message this morning on sacrificial living. Living sacrificially, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I want to live to please Him. All right, let's see a hand this morning. God bless you all over the room. My dear Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning. I pray for anybody's here right now without Christ, that Lord, this will be the day of their salvation. Pray for these that need to be baptized. Pray, Lord, for every hand that went up. In acknowledgement of you speaking to their heart, pray for those, Lord, that need to join the church. And any decision for Christ that needs to be made, may it be pleasing to you and be made at this hour. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand. The ladies are going to play. If you don't know that you're saved and you didn't raise your hand either time, I want you to come this morning and let somebody show you how to be saved. Be baptized, join the church. Or to simply visit the altar and say, God spoke to my heart. Now's the time. Let's stand, please. The ladies are playing. Invitation time. Would you come? Would you come? We don't have to die for our God, but we do need to live for Him. Would you come? Would you come and trust Christ and be saved this morning? Well, if you don't know that you're going to heaven now, you'll have to find out. Would you come? Slip out and come down the aisle. Somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you join these up, amen. Would you come this morning? Anybody like that today? You know you need to be baptized. Would you come this join these at the altar with you this morning. God speak to your heart in some way, some fashion. Come join these. Yes, would you come this morning? God is great, mighty, good God. Would you come? Be seated, please, just for a moment.